There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, folks, it's another Wednesday evening, and we're going to be doing the show live from the central part of the United States of America. My name is BJ Rigard. This is a Jim Hockaday show. This is called The Abiding Presence. Also, our website, theabidingpresence.com. We've got theories. We've got, for your consideration, you can contact the show. But most importantly, if you're listening to the show live on this Wednesday night, wherever you are, or it could be early Thursday morning if you're in Western Europe and the middle part of Europe, would Italy be considered Western or Middle East? No, Western Europe?
Yeah, Italy's time is 1 hour.
So that's Western
East.
Europe?
Yes.
Okay, so you were just in Italy. You were just in England, right?
I was in Manchester, England, yeah.
Yeah. Brought me chocolate.
Yes, we did.
From Fred in Germany.
Yeah, Fred, really nice guy.
The problem, Fred, is you gave me... chocolate, and now Fred's responsible for giving me chocolate all the time now, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Fred did a pretty amazing job of bringing in some... In fact, what he gave you was some Christmas cookies that only come out at a special time in Germany. So
yeah, I liked it all.
Christmas season. So.
Eating it all.
Excellent.
One sitting.
Come on, you did not. Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't lie to me. I know that. But
no.
You really did.
Yeah, why... See, people think that I just make this stuff up, and then they find out, well, no, he doesn't lie. He just leads an extremely bizarre,
oh,
you know,
you
life.
That was a lot of chocolate.
It was. I got a lot done that night.
That's very good.
I mean, yeah, when I went home and was talking to the guys, when I was talking to Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they said, you know, you got a little chocolate there on your mustache, cowboy. Did you have a little sweet tooth? And I said, I figured it was okay. I got him from Fred.
Yeah, that's right. What's
Fred's church? I forget. I could look it up real quick, but do you remember?
I don't remember.
I've got it. I'll look it up. Okay, so anyways, tell us about you're in Europe. You want to say hi to these folks? And
yeah, it was a great time.
Lots of healing.
Yeah, there were wonderful times of healing. Joel and Evie Taulier in Manchester, and then in Italy, Milan, Italy. I was there with Joe Morris, a good friend of mine. In fact, you know Joe. Joe, he spoke at one of the meetings here in Tulsa. But we were with Angelo and Chiara Scalapini, and their church is just awesome, too. They're just really, really good people. And then this last weekend, I'm all the way back here in the United States at Madisonville, Kentucky. And talk about a...
culture shock?
Well, it was definitely different than Milan, Italy.
I've bought a lot of cattle and a lot of horses in Kentucky.
Well, you know...
A lot
the
of
big
horses
joke,
and cattle in Kentucky.
The big joke was, you'll know when you cross from Tennessee into Kentucky by how bad the roads are. And literally, at the sign, you go from these beautiful roads to a bunch of potholes.
It's like that in the... like that in parts of Iowa and Minnesota,
right,
and South Dakota. You know where the state line is because the roads instantly change.
Yeah.
And the paint on them is a little different, and the quality is extremely different.
It was like that here, but it was a great time. Chris and Terry Manning up in Madisonville, Kentucky, and it was the Assembly of God Church, and we had a really good time, and there were a lot of healings there too, BJ, some really great things. In fact, some of the people made the comment that I've never seen a healing before, and so that's a pretty cool thing for people.
I think so. I think it is. Are you going back to any of these places? Or I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I mean, within the course of a year, you usually don't go back too soon. I mean, usually maybe about a year later or so. But I do visit some of these places. I mean, Manchester, I'll go back, and Milan, I'll go back. And, of course, Chris said that he'd like to have me back in Kentucky. It's always nice when they ask you back.
I'd go to Kentucky in a heartbeat because I would drive my truck, take my trailer. I'd bring back something, cattle, horses, hay. Cowgirl, I don't know, something.
Something.
Yeah.
That's good.
There's a lot of women out there that says, you're going to haul a woman in a trailer? But if it's someone who likes cowboys, they'd say, I don't care, let's just go. All right. We were talking about words
last week.
And we've got so much more to talk about words this evening. And what's real interesting about words is that we were talking about this today at my home and how we were talking about words in the Bible, inspiration.
Yes.
And how words are completely, I mean, I don't even know a right word for it. I don't even know a quote unquote bad curse word that could describe what man has done to a word, any word.
Right.
Over 2,000 years.
Yeah.
I mean, last week we talked about the word gay, we talked about queer, we talked about the word boot, how boot is something I might wear around the ranch, but in Manchester, England, a boot is the back of a car that you put things in.
Yeah, it's a trunk.
Yeah, which we call a trunk. But in England, a trunk is a box that you cram full of stuff and you drag around.
Like a suitcase.
Yes. I think, you know what? I think they call suitcases either valises or trunks.
Okay.
And they've got another name for bathroom. I can't remember what bathroom is, but it's not bathroom.
Toilet.
In England?
Well, yeah. I mean,
No, it's got another one too.
Okay.
I know in France it's. I can't remember what it is. I don't know what it is, but that. Anyways. Let's, on the word thing, I want to talk about how prayers are distorted because of words.
Okay.
Because someone will go to a building, or if they're lucky enough to go to a church, which most people aren't, but they'll go to a building on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whenever, and they will hear these really grandiose, dramatic, almost like watching an actor on a stage, quote, Shakespeare. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I know.
We're talking about, you know, your heavenly Father with all your wisdom and love and glory that you have for us with the grace of God. We now ask you and beseech you to help us with our sins and forgive us. And I mean, you know, you can't put a stopwatch on it because a stopwatch would break. You basically got to use a calendar.
Yeah.
And we're talking, I mean, I'm not, it sounds like I'm being sarcastic and facetious, but I'm not.
Well,
and when it comes down to it, it's all words. There's no substance.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no sincerity.
Yeah, there's no meaning behind it, BJ. That happens a lot. And sometimes it's just like you said, it's a real extreme professionalism.
Well, and if anybody heard last week's show about the Leslie story, which I'm not going to repeat for anything.
I might repeat it.
Well, you can. It's your show. But I'm not, because it's my story. I was praying for a little girl, Leslie, and it turned out to be a weenie dog. And all I said is, I really want Leslie to eat. I want her to drink. I want her to get better. It doesn't make any sense that this little girl is going to die because she's not eating and she should be fine. Well, I mean, on every sense of the word.
Correct.
And the story, I was clueless.
Right.
I mean, you could say, you know, what's wrong with you, cowboy? You don't even know what you're talking about. You're praying for a little girl, and it's a weenie dog.
Right.
Well, then all of a sudden, the words mean absolutely nothing again. because it's about what I felt in my heart and my relationship with God.
Right.
So even though you're praying and you're using the words correctly, doesn't mean you're going to get anything done.
No, it doesn't.
Explain this.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to explain about it, and tonight we're going to have fun doing that, and I don't know how much you want me to say right now because there's some other things we can say, but it really comes down to the intent or the meaning behind the words. And perfect example is you prayed for Leslie thinking it was a girl, but the thing you just got through saying, it was what was the meaning of your heart and your relationship with God. You put those two things together, and there is feeling, there's emotion, there's meaning, there's purpose behind what you were saying. And that's the connection that actually made the difference. That's the reason why Leslie was healed, and it ended up being a dog, which, thank God, you know, the dog's feeling so much better. But it really does serve a great purpose in what we're trying to show here, how it wasn't about the words being perfect. It was about the intent of your heart.
I want to back you up for a second. Okay, I want to back you up about, I don't know, maybe 2, 3, 4 sentences. And when you broke it down, one of the things you said, let's break this down, and one of them was purpose. What were the other ones?
I said feeling, emotion, intent, purpose.
Okay, I want to talk about, I don't want to talk about feelings. I don't want to talk about emotions. I want to talk about intention and purpose.
Okay.
Because this is a real good thing. I think this is a good point to bring up. What is your intention for praying? If you're praying, let's put it in everyday terms.
Okay.
If you go somewhere and you buy a lottery ticket because you want to win the lottery.
Okay.
And you say, I can buy a boat, I can buy a car, I can buy a second house. I can have all these really cool things, and I will show my ex-husband or my ex-wife, boy, did they miss the boat by divorcing me because I won the lottery. Okay, what is your purpose for the prayer? What is your intent for the answering of that prayer?
Okay.
Because right now, you're about 3 or 4 clicks off of center.
Sure.
For anything to happen, and so Even though you're talking and you're thinking about God, because it's really true, there no prayer goes unanswered. Ask and you shall receive. What about that isn't absolute? So that means if you don't win the lottery, it wasn't that your prayer was no. It wasn't a prayer because of the purpose and the intent behind it.
Right. And James talks about that in the 4th chapter, 3rd verse. He says you pray and you receive not because you pray amiss, that you might spend it on your own pleasure. In other words, the answer.
Right.
And then Jesus talked about, remember the many times, he talked about the Pharisaical mindset in prayer, where they try to pray in the open street with many words.
Right.
And yet there's nothing behind those words. And that's where he made the observation, pray rather in secret, in a closet.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that, because I don't know where it is, but somewhere it says, those who pray with really big words, they will get the rewards. But when you pray, grow into your room and close the door. Something like that. Where is that? What is that?
I'll have to find it. It's over in...
Well, you don't have to right now. But I mean...
Well, I'll look through and I'll find it while you're talking.
You know, because I want to talk about this purpose and intent, because it really goes to like greediness, vengefulness.
Well, it's the attitude behind... And the motive behind the heart's intention.
I like motive, yeah. I think that's an appropriate way, because when you're, if you're praying to feel better because you want to go to the Indian casino and gamble, I'm not sure that's going to work. And one thing that I've always thought was just, and I didn't realize how wrong it is and how this use of words is really misleading to people. I mean, there are songs, there are country songs that say God answers all prayers. It's just sometimes it's no.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, that's the typical.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's a real religious mindset.
That's a rationale.
God said, well, listen to this. This is a typical mindset of religion that says God answers with a sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Sometimes?
Yes, sometimes yes, sometimes no, and then sometimes not yet or maybe.
Not yet or maybe.
Yeah, I found this place here, BJ.
It's I like that. Matthew. Not yet or maybe. You know, I know you have breast cancer. I know you're going through chemo.
Maybe.
But you know, right now, me and my son and the Holy Spirit, we really like this episode of Green Acres. And so, you know, we'll get to you.
Right.
I mean, you're going to get
now.
It. But not now, you know. Wait till the commercial break, because right. This is where Arnold the Pig says something that just really cracks up the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's
insane. It is so off.
Okay, what have you got?
Well, what you asked for there, Matthew 6 and verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." And their reward is they get to have men look at them. It still doesn't do any good because it doesn't work.
Well, this goes to television shows and to radio shows because it's real
easy. It
really
does.
Because you can sit up there and say, I've got a Rolex $10,000 watch. I got a custom made suit. I've got vacation homes. I've got all kinds of cars in the driveway. And I know how to pray, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
God has been good to me.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, we can help you if you only send us $10 or $20 or $50 with your offering. That's not an offering. He might as well be standing on a street corner with a piece of cardboard and a black felt tip pen and says, "By the way, I'm full of stuff, but if you give me money, I'll pretend I'm praying for you."
Sure, that's about the size of it. Let me show you the rest of this here.
Yes, please.
Which is really good. It says, verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words."
There we go.
"Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him."
When the guy was on the side of the highway, crashed his motorcycle.
Right.
His pant legs dripping in blood. And he says, "I'm hurt. I'm real bad." And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he says, "Yeah." And I says, "Okay, well, you know, we're kind of in a hurry here. We need something real quick." And, you know, fix his leg. Amen. He says, "Well, that's not a prayer." And I says, "Well, do you believe in God?" And he says, "Well, yeah." And I says, "Well, move your leg." And he says, "Well, I can't move my leg." And he moved my leg. And he says, "Well, I couldn't move my leg just a second ago."
Right.
And he says, it doesn't hurt. And he says, "I must be in shock." And I says, "I don't think so. I'm not in shock." And the paramedics show up and they take their scissors and they cut the scissors and there's not even an abrasion on his leg.
On his skin.
On his skin. He looks at me and he says, "It's a miracle." And I says, "Well, I really don't like that word miracle, but okay. You know, God did it." And he says, "Yeah, thank you, Jesus." And the paramedic says, "Well, this just can't be blood. It must be motor oil."
Right.
And we look at the motorcycle, and underneath the motorcycle, it's dry as a bone. There isn't even any oil dripping from it. And I says, "Yeah, it's motor oil." And the guy looks at me and he says, "Yeah, okay, it's motor oil." And he stands up and they check him out.
He was fine.
I mean, why do people doubt? Why is it so much easier for people to doubt the effectiveness of a prayer? Why is it so much easier for someone to say, "Well, God answers all prayers. It's always no." Why is it easier for people to do that than to say, "My prayer doesn't work. What am I doing wrong?"
Correct. Right.
Because they'll go to the store and buy a plant. They'll plant it in the spring. And when it isn't doing anything, they'll go back to the nursery and they'll say, "What am I doing wrong? My plant's dying. What's going on?" Well, why do they question those things, but they don't question their own relationship with God?
I think it's because of what you just said, your last line. It's because then they would have to bring into question their relationship with God. And it's just so much easier, as we've talked in previous shows, how decisions that have been made over the years have conditioned us to compromise and to not place value on what's important. And the thing that's the most important in our life is our relationship with God, how we relate to Him.
Who cares? Because the only person that cares, and rightly so, should care, is Christ. I mean, what's it matter? I mean, someone's relationship with God literally can be broken down to it. It is so personal, it really doesn't matter. Because does it matter which way you have a roll of toilet paper in your bathroom, with the paper hanging out, or which way does it unroll? Who cares how it unrolls? What does it really matter? It doesn't. It's your roll of toilet paper. It's in your bathroom. It sounds pretty personal and none of my business to me. Well, doesn't that apply to a relationship with God?
Well, it does, but as we're talking right here, it should matter to an individual whether or not their relationship is functional.
But it seems that what they think is appropriate is literally hammered into them.
Well, again, now that's where we draw the line.
No, this is the way you pray.
Correct.
This is where you...
Right.
I said this today, and I said, I don't understand it. And I said, the modern Christian building... otherwise known as what people call a church, the modern Christian building basically tells you what time to worship, what to wear, where to park, and how to pray. Because if the parking lot gate is closed, if the building is closed and the alarm is turned on and the lights are turned off, they pretty much are telling you, you got to wait till Sunday at 10:15 if you want to pray, if you want to see something happening. What about that says relationship with God, and God is limitless, knows all, sees all, does all, and all sins are forgiven? Because if that's really true, then you can pretty much say the only time sins are forgiven is 10:15 when the lights are on, doors open, and you can park in a parking lot.
Well, I realize that, and that would include a certain percentage of people who don't want to take their relationship any further than what's being presented.
But
there are a lot of people that do.
But the point of this thing is this is not off topic. Because this is all accomplished with words.
I understand. And it's
representing, quote-unquote, the Word of God.
Right. Well, that has to do with how people are receiving words. And that's one of the things that's so nice when you look at Jesus as a model to help us get back on track. He made comments like this. He said, "My words, John 6:63, are spirit and they are life." And that means Jesus is saying, my words have exactness to them. When I speak them, there's power behind them. There's substance in them. In fact, Jesus went on to say over in John, well, a couple different places, John 8, and then again, John 12, toward the end of the chapters there, he said, I don't say anything unless I hear it from my Father in heaven. Or I don't do anything unless I see my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus is ascribing and he's putting the value and the weight of his words on being spiritual words. And this is a real awesome point when you put this together with how society has dumbed us down or minimized the effectiveness so that we don't respect words and what they can do. We've minimized them to the point where there's, as you've heard us last week, and some of the things that are on the website shows how that words have been twisted and words have been changed. And because of that, people have learned to devalue the importance of the meaning behind a word. And that's why we started out with the story about Leslie and BJ's prayer, thinking it was a little girl, and with great intent in his heart, meaning or purpose, he prayed that the little girl would be fixed, and it came out to be a little dog, and the little dog was fixed. So right there it shows you and helps to actually present this topic that there needs to be in the heart of every individual a connection where your heart, the meaning, what comes out of your heart is used or is a part of your prayer instead of just words. We've mentioned already tonight that there's individuals, and of course, I've been a part of religious organizations that have prayed this way for years, and I've prayed prayers like this myself, where you're into your prayer, you're into the words. In fact, the way that it sounds and the way that you can articulate that sound, and even putting some false inflection in that sound to make it a little bit more, let's just say, professional. And yet those prayers have no meaning or substance behind it because the intent of the prayer isn't even connected with God. And this is where I want to come in right now and just begin to share a couple thoughts here, because God really shows us through the ministry of Jesus that he says what he means and he means what he says. Jesus doesn't speak words that are lifeless words. The words that he spoke were spirit and that they were life. In fact, I love one illustration over in Luke chapter 5 where Peter and all of his companions were out fishing one morning and they came back after having caught nothing. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, throw your nets on the other side. And Peter then complained for a second. He said, Master, we've toiled all night long. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, I'm a fisherman, Jesus. I've been working at it all morning long, all night. We've caught nothing, and now you want me to throw my nets on the other side. And yet then what Peter said was this, and I love this word. It says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do what you said. In other words, just plain English, nevertheless, I'll do it. I'll throw my nets over the side because you said so. And when Peter threw his nets on the other side, he hauled in this incredible amount of fish to the point where the nets were beginning to break. There were so many fish, they couldn't get the fish in the boat. And it just begins to show you the purpose of Jesus' words and how there was such meaning and such substance behind them. And there's a great way for us to actually share this topic tonight. And it comes through a couple of different ways. Number one, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is speaking about words when he says the word of God is like a seed. And he shares with us that that seed is sown into the heart of men, which means that the word of God is preached, gospel preaching. And when people hear it, their heart is the soil. And Jesus breaks it down and said there's four different types of soil. And he went on to speak about this. And toward the end of his expose, he made a comment and said in Mark chapter 4, he said, take heed what you hear. And the what is what I call content. It's the words themselves. But over in Luke in chapter 8, Luke records the exact same rendition of what Mark did. In fact, it's the exact same story. In the 18th verse, Luke records of that same verse I just quoted you, take heed how you hear. And how you hear is the meaning or the attitude behind what's being said.
Okay. What I want to do is, I'm going to back you up just a second. Okay, you said that Jesus, quote unquote, said, my words are of spirit.
And my words are of life.
Of life. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's the same word for eternal life.
Now, we've been talking about this. This is our 13th broadcast. So for 13 weeks, we've been talking how the spirit world and the flesh world do not mix. Like apples and oranges. They don't come together. So the word of God then is different than the word of man. So that if the words from Jesus are of the spirit and of love and of God's grace, well then if those words are then taken,
yes,
and manipulated or changed or used for other than intended purposes,
right,
I guess you could say used other than what manufacturer designed.
Okay, it's a good way to say it.
Well, yeah, I do that a lot with things and it breaks. Well then all of a sudden, a prayer isn't a prayer.
No, and the effect
because of, even though you're using, yeah, quote unquote Jesus' words,
right,
and it's right out of the Bible,
right,
now tie that in with purpose and intent,
exactly,
add feelings and emotions, and you basically have a recipe for disaster.
Yes,
why people give up, have no faith, no belief. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and it didn't work.
Right.
There is no God.
Right. And this is, Paul made reference to this. He said, this is what religion is, and it denies the power. And he said, from people that are like that, turn aside. He was trying to give a warning to people that there's folks out there that'll take the same words that have such power to transform, and there's no meaning and there's no purpose behind them. They speak them, and guess what? Nothing happens, and it turns into religion. And it damages.
And BJ, doctrine takes scripture to doctrine.
It takes scripture to doctrine. In fact, we read this over in Colossians, and chapter 2, where Paul warns us and he says, man, be careful about these folks with tradition and religion and doctrine, and they're not after Christ or substance, where the real power is. And this is the sad thing, BJ, because there's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people that have grabbed hold of some great principles, but there's no meaning behind what they're saying. And they've got even... Listen, I've had people even call me and ask me this question. You heard me say this before, but they asked me, I said, how's my confession? Now, see, in my opinion, that's about as low as you can go right there.
It's really sad.
It is. Let's take the Word of God. I'm going to put four scriptures together, and this is my confession of faith. And now I'm going to ask somebody else, what do you think about my confession? Like as though it's an open sesame. It's a special word that you say.
And it needs approval and acceptance.
And it needs approval and acceptance. And if I say it just right, something's going to happen.
But see, the only approval and the only acceptance that they'll ever get isn't even acknowledged by Christ, because it's acceptance and acknowledgement of this world, and there's nothing good of this world.
Right. The only approval they need is their own relationship with God, where their heart's connection is. It's what stirs their heart.
It is extremely difficult, Jim, for someone to do that, because basically what we're saying is that the church that you've been going to, it may not be a church. It might just be a building full of people that are being led astray. They're being victimized. Not intentionally, just through tradition.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like global warming.
Right.
You know, it's not my fault I drive a car, because if I don't drive a car, I can't survive. I can't live. I live on one side of town. I need a car. I use my car for my job. I have to buy gasoline. I understand global warming. I'm sorry. I'm guilty, but I need a car. I need to buy gas. Well, who do you blame? Do you blame the individual person who just said that? Or do you blame the person that invented the internal combustion engine?
Right.
That you have to suck oil out of the ground, distill it, and make gasoline. Where's the fault? Well, take this to religion. If someone is listening to this show tonight, if someone is going to listen to the show as it loops 24 hours, 7 days a week, till free, till next week's show, it is a drastic error if they feel guilty or they feel stupid or they feel ridiculous because they say, ah, I get it now. I've been led astray. I haven't been going to a church. I've been going to a building. My prayers haven't been answered because they haven't been prayers. Don't feel bad. Feel happy.
That's right. That
elated.
You're seeing something.
Feel gay. Really?
Yeah, well.
Feel happy and gay that you've figured it out.
Right.
And someone's going to hear this and they're going to say, did he just say what I think he said? Yes, because that's the original use of the word.
Yeah, and that goes right back to the reason why we're saying this.
Because words are wrong, folks. It's about the purpose, the intent, the feelings, and emotion.
Listen.
Back this up.
Yeah,
back
well, listen up. To what here that God said over in Isaiah chapter 55. And I think some of you, if you'll just continue to listen to the few things that I have to say here for a few moments, I think you're really gonna feel like, wow, okay, that's really starting to make sense, because we don't want to leave this broadcast tonight without this really hitting home. So listen to this verse, and it's great. It says in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Well, first of all, God is not trying to make us feel bad because we don't think high enough. He's trying to help us by saying, instead of trying to invent your own way of thinking, go ahead and start thinking like me, because I don't put limits and boundaries on my thoughts. And then you can begin to start seeing spiritual thoughts and how they pertain to bringing change down here on this earth. And he goes on to say in verse 10, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud." I want to stop right there, because do you see the intent behind God's thoughts and God's words? You really, really need to get a hold of this. Let me read it again. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Notice what God's saying here. He's saying every word that comes out of my mouth, it has purpose, it has meaning, and it's filled with spiritual content. This is awesome. God's trying to show us something. Don't let the world, minimize the effectiveness of words and twist them to the point of you not having respect for the purpose and the intent that should be in those words. God's given us a recipe here, and He's showing us that when I speak, my words do something. They will water the earth, they will make a seed bring forth and bud, and then the purpose of that seed is that there would be bread to the eater. And it goes on in verse 11 to say, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So can you see right here that God's trying to help us understand the importance of meaning? Not just words, folks, but the meaning behind the words. I'm going to take just a moment, and I'm going to describe something, and then I'm going to come back after, and I'm going to round these thoughts together, and I believe you'll like how we put it together. You know the idea that is in this statement, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? And, of course, that's just a nice way of starting a nice argument is what it is. But listen to this thought here. Which came first, God's word or God? When Adam and Eve had life breathed into them, the first thing that came to them when their eyes were opened, they weren't staring at a giant Bible in the middle of the garden. I'm not minimizing the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love my Bible. I know that there are words of eternal life in there. And as a result of it, thank God I've called upon the name of the Lord, and I am saved and born again today because of the truth and the meaning behind God's Word. I took that to heart. All right. But I want you to see this. What came first? Was it a big Bible in the garden, or was it God Himself? And the answer, as you know, is Adam and Eve were staring at God. God. It was a personal relationship. He didn't breathe breath into them and send them on a journey to try to read the Bible. He sent breath into them, and immediately their eyes came alive, and they had a relationship, and they began to walk and talk and fellowship and got to know one another. And folks, listen, the whole importance of this is because everything that we're speaking about in these broadcasts should lead you one step closer in your relationship with God, where everything about that relationship becomes more clear to your heart, to your mind, and to your soul, where it becomes more evident to you that Jesus Christ is real, that you have a relationship with God, that you're able to stand toe-to-toe in whatever crisis that it is, and you can pray a prayer, and your prayers work because you have a relationship, and there's meaning behind your prayer. All right, now take that thought here, and I want to share something with you that I believe will drive this point home. There's something in the Christian walk with God called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I know this is opening up a huge subject here, but it's a really awesome subject. And I'm certainly not afraid to talk about it. I know there's a lot of folks that don't like to talk about the Holy Ghost because they feel like maybe they would offend people. Folks, listen, we want to talk about the Holy Ghost because He is such an amazing advantage in your life. And Jesus made some amazing comments about Him, and I think we ought to listen. So I'm over here in Acts chapter 1, and it talks here about Jesus and some things He said before He went up into heaven. This is after He was raised from the dead, and He was talking to His disciples. It says in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and not many days from now." Well, Jesus shared with us and gave us an understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is awesome because this is a wonderful work of God's grace to every believer, and it is available to every believer, and it is at the command of Jesus for every believer to have this experience.
He goes on to say some things as it speaks here. It says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" And here Jesus reveals this amazing plan that he has for every believer to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And there's a reason why I'm bringing this to you during this particular broadcast. It's going to really help you to see that it's not about the words, it's about the meaning behind the words. BJ, do you know where I'm going in this? This is really good thought here, and I'm going to develop this in a second.
Yeah, you're doing good. It's just that a lot of people have a really hard time with the speaking in tongues.
I know they do, and I understand that.
They can lose a lot of traction mentally, and they can get stuck there. Well, and they almost think, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know anybody else. I've only seen it on documentaries, and they get lost. I think there's too much made of speaking in tongues.
Well, here's the deal.
I don't do it.
Here's the deal. In the book of Acts, all five places where the baptism of the Holy Ghost was evidenced, speaking in other tongues was actually an outward evidence of that. And so it really is of 10 amazing and good reasons why you'd want to speak in other tongues.
I'm not saying you don't want to do it. I'm just saying I don't think it's a requirement. Is it a requirement?
Well, that's what I was just getting to there with the book of Acts. Every time you see someone filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence actually was speaking in other tongues. And so if you look at 5 out of 5, those are pretty good odds that if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that there is a speaking in other tongues. And so getting back here to this story, which is really, really good. I love the fact that Jesus is giving us some direction here. And the reason why I'm bringing this out, folks, and I'm going to go ahead and cut right to the heart of it here, because if we need to spend some other time on another show talking about the five different reasons where in the book of Acts you can see people speaking in other tongues, which will do nothing more than build your expectancy for the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your own life. But here we go. I want to share something with you in 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, because this is really, really good here in verse 2, where it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." Now, the reason why I'm putting two and two together here is to help you to see something here. This verse of Scripture helps me to understand that when someone's speaking in an unknown tongue, speaking by the Spirit, it shows us here that they're speaking to God and not to men, because even when they're speaking, there's no understanding to the mind. So how much more in a verse of Scripture like this can you find that it's not about the words, it's about the meaning behind the words? It's about the meaning behind this wonderful experience of speaking in other tongues. And I think if you'll put these couple of thoughts together, you'll understand some more tonight about what we're talking about here, and that there's a whole spiritual side to words, or let's say it this way, to releasing your heart's intent when it comes to prayers. And this is so important to your prayer being answered. If we could go back to James chapter 4, verse 3, like we talked about earlier, and you could see James articulate, he said that there's people praying prayers that are not getting answers because they pray their prayer amiss, trying to spend the answer on their own lusts. Then look at what you've just introduced. You've introduced the wrong intent of an individual's heart. You've introduced a wrong motive of an individual's heart. We've covered some of that with even Jesus speaking about the hypocrites or the Pharisees that want to spend all their time trying to be seen with their prayer or heard with their great eloquence, and yet their prayer has no meaning. In fact, it's not a prayer because there's no intent in that prayer. Put all these things together, and I'm tired of not seeing prayers answered in people's lives. And I know you're tired of the very thing, because we've had some emails that have said the exact same thought. And this is the reason why we're spending time here. Now, if you'll stay with me for a few more moments, I want to show you how this goes together. Because when you see the value of praying in other tongues, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, and yet when someone speaks in a tongue, it's not even about your language. I want to go to another scripture here, and this is the fourth verse. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." And verse 14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Notice what Paul's trying to tell you here. He's saying your understanding is unfruitful. He goes on to say in verse 2, "When you speak in a tongue, you speak not to men, but to God." Why? Because no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. The very fact that praying in other tongues has validity, and that Jesus has told us, make sure you get filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, out of your belly are going to flow rivers of everlasting life. And these rivers of everlasting life, it says in John 7:37, this he spoke concerning the Spirit who was not yet given. Well, here in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 1 that we read, when Jesus said, don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high, until you receive this experience. Why? Jesus made reference over in John 16. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away, that I would send unto you the Holy Spirit. He's trying to help us, folks, say that there is such purpose and such meaning and such intent behind the baptism of the Holy Spirit and people speaking in other tongues, this river that comes out of your spirit. And with that whole experience, the irony of it is you're speaking words that don't even make sense to your mind. So what is behind these words? And folks, what's behind these words are the feelings and emotions and purpose and meaning of the Spirit. And this is so important, because if the Holy Spirit has meaning and purpose, intent, if he has feeling and emotion in the things that he speaks, then when your heart is connected to his heart, you won't pray lifeless prayers. You won't be interested in how professional your prayers sound. In fact, you may have some prayers, like BJ has had some prayers, where the words of the prayers to an individual that was wanting some elaborate prayer didn't even make sense. It didn't even seem like a prayer to them. And yet it was the meaning behind the prayer. It was BJ's heart being connected to the Holy Spirit, and there being such a relationship that it brought purpose to the answer, and the answer came immediately. And I can find this in another passage of Scripture, and I'm going to take my liberty just to end this so that I don't leave any frayed edges out there and you wonder where in the world this went. Listen to this Scripture here, because it's talking, Paul's talking about an individual that would get into a position or situation where he doesn't know exactly how to pray as he ought to pray, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. And notice what it says here in Romans 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. All right, I want to capitalize on that word groanings with some other translations, and notice what it says here in a few different translations. The Spirit puts our desire into words which are not in our power to say. Another translation says, the Spirit prays on our behalf with inward cries beyond ordinary speech. Another translation says, with groanings too deep for words. Godspeed translation says, with inexpressible yearnings. A translator's translation says, with our inarticulate cries. Well, put some of those thoughts together, and if you can tie them up together, you'll see that the Holy Spirit will pray things out of your heart with great meaning and purpose and feeling and emotion. There is intent in what the Holy Spirit is praying through your spirit. And this is the heart of prayer. Not just the words, because even in this passage, when Paul is relating this verse to us and giving us such hope to know that when there's times where you don't know how to pray as you ought, you can pray in other tongues and the Holy Ghost will pray through you with yearnings and expressions and with groanings and inarticulate cries. In other words, purpose and meaning and intent, feeling and emotion, and he'll get the job done. Folks, tie all this together and you can see tonight what we're endeavoring to show you is there is a connection between your heart and the heart of God. And this is where your relationship will begin to take your words that you do say, whether few or many, and put the meaning behind it that will actually cause there to be a connection. And that connection means purpose has been accomplished. There'll be answers to those prayers. One last thing I'll say is this. And then I'll let BJ come in here to this particular comment. I remember Brother Hagin making a comment years ago at camp meeting in front of a whole bunch of folks. And he walked over to the section of the ministers. And where there was, there was about probably 30 rows high of ministers in a whole section. And this is what he said to them. He said, by the Spirit, in other words, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, he said, there's many of you here tonight, he said, that I can tell by the Holy Spirit that are discouraged because your prayers are not getting answers. He said, but the Spirit of God would say to me to tell you, get in the Spirit first and then begin to pray, or then begin to speak to your situation and you'll have answers. And what he's endeavoring to say is the very thing that we've touched on tonight in this broadcast, that there is an unction by the Holy Ghost. That's not a bad word. That's a great word. In fact, John said, you know all things because you have an unction from the Holy Spirit. What's that unction? It's the meaning and the purpose and the intent of God in your heart. You mean to tell me God has meaning and purpose in my own heart? When you're connected to God, when your spirit is one with his spirit, there is amazing purpose or unction. There is an anointing in your heart. And folks, it's the time that you spend in your relationship with him, understanding some of the principles we've been talking about in these last 13 different shows that help you to get untangled from a world that wants to minimize and distract us from the very heart issue, which is your heart fellowshipping with God? In that place, there is a connection with the Holy Spirit. I like that. I like the idea that we can help people to see that there's a connection with God and your spirit can be in that place where it's easy to pray a prayer. And it's not about the words. It's about the meaning behind those words.
We got a question here. Someone just emailed. It says, I went to a church where someone spoke out loud in tongues. Then someone else spoke out loud and was translating what was said in tongues. How does this happen? Well, the reason it happens is because it's the same stuff I shovel out of my barn every morning with a pitchfork.
What do you mean? That's just a tongue and interpretation, BJ.
Well, they were translating it. How can one person translate someone else's prayer if it's in tongues?
Yeah, it's right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it shares here that there is a tongue and interpretation in tongue. In fact, Paul says, pray that you may interpret. So let's see. It says, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him and speaks. He who speaks will be a foreigner to me. And it goes on, let's see. Let me get all the verses here right. All right, he says right here, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Paul was addressing a problem here. People were praying in other tongues all the time. And Paul said, I'd rather have you pray in five words in English so that people could understand than pray in a thousand words in tongues.
How can one person understand someone else's praying in tongues?
It would have to be the Holy Spirit would give them the interpretation to that tongue. And that's part of the Holy Spirit's work. Part of his gifting. And so actually it's something that you can pray out of yourself. In other words, there's times when you'll pray in other tongues and you'll get your own interpretation to that. and where then you begin to have some understanding. And then there's times where you'll pray in the Spirit and someone else will receive the interpretation to that tongue. And these folks, when you look at this in 1 Corinthians 14, these are not hard, fast rules as much as they are guidelines. And Paul's trying to correct a problem here because I know it's very valid that someone could speak in an unknown tongue and there be no interpretation. In fact, I remember one specific story or illustration that went like this. An individual spoke in an unknown tongue, and everybody was waiting for the interpretation, and there was none. And about 10 minutes later, a lady got up out of the seat that was sitting in the row right in back of the person that spoke, and she came down to the altar, and she said to the pastor, interrupting his message, "I'd like to receive Jesus as my Lord." And the pastor said, "Well, what would make you come down to the front in the middle of the sermon when I hadn't given an altar call?" She said, "Do you remember when that individual spoke in front of me?" And she said, "He spoke my perfect native dialect of my own language." She said, "I heard him perfectly tell me that Jesus Christ was Lord and that I should receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And so in that particular instance, there was no interpretation because what was being spoken was actually being interpreted as a perfect language to an individual who spoke a different language. So in 1 Corinthians 14, it's a guideline, and it helps us to see that we don't want to get into a service and have everybody praying in other tongues. It does no one any good if no one's giving an interpretation. And but nonetheless, my point for tonight was, and endeavoring to be on target with what we were talking about, is to help validate by showing you that when someone prays in an unknown tongue, it's not about the words. The words aren't even being understood. It's about the intent of the heart, which means that the Holy Spirit has meaning and purpose and intent. And that alone, folks, should be encouraging to what we're endeavoring to say here on this show, to help people see that we want to go beyond just words, because mankind has done a terrific job at messing words up and twisting their meaning and devaluing the intent of a word, changing it so many times you don't know exactly what's being said unless you can get into the context of what's being said at the time. But God wants us to understand that we can speak and have meaning and have a connection in our heart with the Holy Spirit, and that's where your relationship comes. And that's exactly what BJ had said earlier on. I want to bring you back to Leslie's story. That's what he said earlier on when he said it wasn't about the words, it was about the meaning in my heart and my relationship to God. And this all comes back tonight to the very fact. It's about the meaning in your heart, and it's about your relationship with God. This is a wonderful opportunity for all of us just to do a little bit of inward, just soul searching, and ask ourselves some questions. Is our relationship with God shallow? Have we never allowed it to blossom? Is it something like we've maybe witnessed in certain services with many people coming together and individuals are doing everything but actually paying attention where their heart is engaged? Or is it about our hearts actually coming together with purpose and meaning? And because we're learning to develop our relationship with God through that meaning, when we pray prayers, our hearts are connected. And it's not about empty words. It's not about impressing anyone. It's not even about in trying to impress yourself, because we can pray such a good prayer. It's about that prayer having meaning and purpose, that prayer hitting the mark, where when you speak, you're speaking by an unction from the Holy Spirit. And folks, one of the most amazing ways that you can connect your heart to God is actually this gift called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. I wouldn't mention it just to distract you tonight unless there was an amazing reason why. It is a tremendous gift that Jesus said the church needs, and it's one of the gifts that you'll find that the church has been fought over down through the ages, almost more about the baptism of the Holy Ghost than almost anything else. But folks, it's an opportunity for you to connect your heart with the Holy Ghost on a regular basis every single day and learn how to apply meaning and purpose to everything that you do. I believe you'll find our time tonight very helpful. And if we need to take many different more Wednesday nights and describe this and talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it would be worth it every single session to help you to understand the purpose and the meaning behind this wonderful gift. I can see that our time is getting close here tonight, and I realize I've done a lot of talking here, but I sure do trust. In fact, write us if you need to and give us your thoughts about this. If there's some things you don't understand, let's make sure that we all are on the same page here. We want your heart to have an amazing relationship with God. We want you to go further than you've ever gone before and experience God's presence, experience His voice, and experience the meaning and intent and purpose of God's heart. BJ, how much time do we have?
We're down to the very end. It was a good show. Folks, this show repeats itself 24 hours, 7 days a week for free. You can log on. We've got a theory section where there's theories that can help you understand some things. There's also a section of the website, letters for your consideration. You can read those as well. We have a lot of people that don't get the chance to listen to the show live, and we actually have a lot more people listening through the week, 24 hours a day, than we do for our live broadcast. Make sure that you take advantage of the radio show's email address. You can find that on the page where it says contact the show. You can tell us anything that you would like to. We have a email tonight from Valerie. It says, "Here I am again, eagerly awaiting what is coming tonight. Blessings on you both. Love, Valerie." We had another email that came in tonight during the show. It says, "Hello, BJ. I wanted to relate to you a Leslie testimony about the dog. He had a problem with his own dog. He laid hands on his dog, and his own dog was healed." Ladies and gentlemen, laying on and praying of hands does work. You've been listening to The Abiding Presence with your host, Jim Huckaday. Make sure you check out the website, and I appreciate it if you would let people know about the show. Maybe they have questions, maybe they're not sure where they go if they're getting the right word. Take care of yourselves. Thanks again, and Jim, have a good night.
Thank you.